ordinary workplace hazards, or SHIELD and OSHA aren't on speaking terms. Chapter 2. "It's not what it looks like," Tony said.
"I wasn't thinking it looked like anything," Steve said with a pleasant smile.
"It seemed a little strained at the edges."
I was wondering if we have an update about the movements of the rest of the Roombas," he said, and the abrupt change of subject and the fact that he was avoiding Tony's eyes made Tony's stomach clench in a hard knot. Tony shifted his case from one hand to the other.
"We were just..." His voice trailed away. "Shit! Shit, shit, shit! What could he say they were doing? In a supply closet? At SHIELD? That didn't seem creepy or against HR policy or... Ugh! Him and Clint? That could technically count as just plain unnatural. Neither one of them would be able to shut up long enough to actually do anything that would count as sex. Their entire relationship would just be the two of them squawking at each other. Not exactly sexy times. Also, no. God, no.
"I had a new piece of tech for him," Tony said. "Because, hey, truth. That would work out, wouldn't it?"
Steve glanced at him, frowning.
"You had a new piece of tech for him that you gave him in a closet?" he asked at last, and then shrugged, because he was Steve, and he was always willing to give his teammates the benefit of the doubt, if they deserved it or not.
"What is it?"
"A mini-bow. Or I guess you could call it a mini-bow. It's just..." Tony made a gesture with one hand. "Like a wrist cuff."
Wow. Even his truths have started sounding like lies. He should probably work on that, but the utter sense of panic right now was not helping him keep it together.
"So it's a bow?"
"Kinda. Not really."
"So it's not a bow?"
Steve asked, sounding confused now.
"It is. Of a type."
And Steve was clearly done trying to figure out that part of the conversation, which, thank God, meant that Tony could too.
"Why would you give him a weapon in a closet? If you'd gone to the range, he could test it."
Steve paused, lips getting tight. "I thought we'd had this discussion, Tony. Tests for weaponry should really be under controlled conditions."
"It's fine. I tested it thoroughly before I gave it to him. There wasn't time for range tests."
"Why not?" Tony opened his mouth and remembered that he wasn't supposed to be telling Steve about the fact that Clint was currently en route to fight an unknown evil in the bowels of SHIELD's ventilation system. Alone. With untested tech. Because, yeah, he'd lied through his teeth about testing it thoroughly. He'd made sure it wouldn't blow up before he'd sent Clint off with it, but that was about the only thing he could promise. That Clint was carrying semi-stable tech into an unknown situation without backup. And both their team leader and their team handler were still in the dark about the situation. In retrospect, promising Clint he'd give him a head start was one of the stupidest things Tony had ever done. The silence stretched out, and Steve's face got tight.
"Don't worry about it, Tony," he said, and he smiled. And it was that painfully thin smile that meant he was faking it. Because he thought Tony was lying.
Tony stared at him, trying to make sense of that. That he'd told the damn truth. And somehow he was so bad at it that Steve still thought he was lying.
Steve cleared his throat.
"I'm glad for you. Really."
"Don't be..."
Tony winced as his voice rose to a truly unfortunate pitch. "Don't be glad for me. Jesus, that is the worst thing."
"What am I supposed to do? Chew you out for..."
Steve waved a hand in the general direction of the closet door. "Doing whatever in the supply closet? At work?" And his face was red. His jaw was tight. "I may be the team leader, but I'm leaving that up to Coulson." His mouth twisted. "As long as everyone's happy,
Then I'm just going to... His hands flexed at his sides. Be happy for you.
I wasn't!
It's fine, Steve said, cutting him off, and turned around, moving away with long, hard strides. Really, I'm glad for you.
Steve!
Clint! Really, Clint! Steve said, whipping back around so fast that Tony actually crashed into him. Tony, really? He pushed a hand through his hair. Clint?
What's wrong with Clint?
Tony said, a little defensive, because Steve was looking at him with an expression that was somewhere between disappointment and dismay. Like Tony had made bad choices.
Which was true. It was always true. But still, what the hell?
Nothing's wrong with... Steve's teeth snapped together with an audible click. There's nothing wrong with Clint. You know there's nothing wrong with Clint. There's something wrong with you being with Clint. I would say I just walked into this conversation at the wrong time, but I'm fairly certain there was never a good time to walk into this conversation, Bruce said, making both Steve and Tony jump. He was pushing a small cart piled with Roombas and was trailed by Thor, who was considering them both with wide eyes. Everything okay, guys? It's fine, Steve said. Have we found...
What do you mean, something wrong with me being with Clint? Tony asked, frustrated now.
What? You don't think I'm good enough for Clint?
That's not what I was saying at all. My God, Tony, can you just drop it? Steve snapped.
Bruce's eyebrows arched. Okay. I really need context for this conversation, he said, his voice calm and soothing. Let's take a step back from each other and just...
No, no, I can't drop it, Tony snapped, so goddamn confused and frustrated that he just wanted to scream. Because honestly, I'd think you'd be happy that if I actually started sleeping with someone who actually liked me, not my position or my money or the suit, but someone who could actually sit on the couch with me and watch bad movies or eat pizza in some dive in Queens or remind me to sleep or eat or make me do something other than sit in board meetings or rebuild the gauntlets. Or, I don't know, what is so wrong with having a relationship with your friend? He asked. Because yes, that was what he wanted. And he was never going to get it, because short of losing his mind and crawling naked into Steve's bed, he was never going to do anything about it, because if Steve rejected him, he wasn't sure he could survive losing Steve's friendship, so he was never going to do anything about it. Ever.
Steve was looking at him with a faint smile. You're right, he said, reaching out to clasp Tony's shoulder. Tony blinked.
I am?
Yes. You're right. You do deserve that. Steve's smile stretched, and it was a real smile this time, a real one full of warmth and kindness and compassion. He reached out and hugged Tony, who still wasn't sure what was happening. I'm so happy for you. Really. Okay, Tony said, because... Steve hugs were the best hugs. When Steve pulled away, he nearly stumbled forward, almost landed on his face. He struggled to pull himself together. I have to go deal with the Roombas, Steve said. I'll talk to you later. Okay, Tony repeated, smiling at Steve's rapidly retreating back. Stark? Bruce said.
Oh, God! Bruce and Thor were there! What the hell? How had he forgotten that?
What? Tony snapped at him, defensive. Did you just talk Steve into believing you're sleeping with Clint Barton?
No!
Tony paused, replayed the conversation.
Fuck! Maybe! I don't know. Yes. I think I did. What the hell, Brain? What the hell is wrong with me? Why would I have done that?
He clutched his head with both hands.
Oh my God!
He turned around to smack his forehead against the wall. Bruce sighed as he loaded the Roomba onto his cart. Stark, your life is an episode of Three's Company. I swear to God.
You take that back right now, Tony said. I will put up with a lot of insults, but I am absolutely not going to be compared to that nonsense. What the hell? Where do you get these comparisons?
He is correct, Thor said, his eyes wide. Many lessons can be taken from the escapades of Jack and his lovely lady friends.
No, no, Thor.
Because the thought of Thor watching, and no doubt laughing at, one of the stupidest things ever produced by American popular culture was enough to make him slam his forehead into the wall a second time. He followed through on the impulse, and it didn't help. Bruce shook his head, sympathetic but dismayed. How do you get yourself into these messes? Do you have no control over your mouth at all? No concept of how to stop talking?
Shut up now, Tony snarled.
His head bounced off the wall again. And again.
You're not helping.
Friend Tony, you must cease, Thor said, sounding worried.
No matter how dark the day, there is no cause to harm oneself.
Listen, buddy, this doesn't even count as self-harm. Let me tell you, I have done self-harm. I will continue doing self-harm. And this is a minor display of annoyance, with no possible outlet other than trying, he smacked his forehead on the wall, to knock, thud, down a wall, thud, with my face. Thud, thud, thud.
Thor inserted a hand between Tony's head and the wall, a faint sigh escaping him.
That's a temporary stopgap measure, at best, Bruce told him.
Aye, and yet, better than allowing him to dent his mighty brain or the blameless wall, Thor said.
Maybe we should make him a nice padded room somewhere, Bruce said.
I fucking hate you both, Tony said, his head resting on Thor's huge palm. I understand, Man of Iron, Thor said, patting his head with his free hand. Come, we will find you a sweet pastry and your favorite beverage. All will be well.
I don't want to date Clint, Tony said, morose, as Thor pulled him away from the wall and steered him down the hall. He's mean, and he steals my stuff, and he makes fun of my robots, and sometimes he jumps off of buildings without telling me he's going to do it, and then I have a heart attack. And Steve yells at me, and Coulson yells at me, and Natasha yells at me, and I can just imagine that dating Clint will only result in more people yelling at me. He paused. I don't want to date Clint.
Tony, Bruce said, his voice low and gentle, his dark eyes sympathetic. He waited until Tony was looking at him, and then he smiled.
You're not dating Clint.
Oh, thank fucking God, Tony said, meaning it.
Okay, Bruce said. You want to stick with him, Thor? And I'll go catch up with Steve.
Aye, Thor said, his hands on Tony's shoulders. Come, my friend. We shall discuss matters of the heart over a beverage of warm chocolate and much whipped cream.
That sounds nice, Tony said. And how pathetic was his life that, yes, it really did.
Natasha resisted the urge to put a heel through the metal casing of the Roomba. This one had been particularly difficult. She was torn between wanting it dead and wanting to reward it for its cleverness. Right now, dead was winning, but it was deactivated, and there was something that struck her as unfair about breaking it down to its components while it was unable to fight back. Scooping it up, she headed down the corridor, back toward S.H.I.E.L.D.'s R&D department. Maybe she would speak to Stark about keeping this one as a sparring partner. If he could find some way to arm it. Lost in her thoughts, she caught only the end of the conversation between the two passing S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. It wasn't until she heard Barton that she stopped,
spinning on her heel. "What was that?" The two agents froze, and she stalked back to them. "What was that?" she repeated, when neither of them was immediately forthcoming. The taller and older of the two agents just gaped at her, his face stark white and his eyes huge in his terrified face. Natasha resisted the urge to roll her eyes or yell, "Boo!" Switching her attention to the other agent, who looked confused but not traumatized, she smiled. Junior agents, they were always the most fun to play with because no matter how many times someone told them how things worked, they never believed it. "What was that?" she asked for the third time, swaying towards the junior agent. He blinked, pupils dilating and mouth dropping open, just enough for him to look like he'd taken a blow to the head. Which, if Natasha was being smug, he had.
What?
He asked, blinking down at her. The standards of this place were dropping. Natasha made a mental note to bring this up with Coulson because, really, she did not want to go into the field with this moron providing backup. "You were saying something just now?" she said, letting her annoyance show only in the faint fluttering of her eyelashes. "Something about Clint Barton? What was that?" "Nothing," the older agent blurted, grabbing his compatriot by the arm and trying to tug him away. "Sorry, ma'am. We weren't saying anything, really." He gave a hard pull, but his colleague might as well have been glued to the ground. "I was saying that Captain America caught Barton and Stark naked in the supply closet on the executive floors," the agent said, smiling at Natasha. Natasha blinked. The flicker of her eyelids, the only sign that he'd actually managed to surprise her. She thought about that for a moment, trying to make it work in any logical sense, and failed. Her lips twitched. She made a breathy, soft sound that could have been mistaken for a sigh. It was actually a laugh. "Really?" she said. "Steve found Tony and Clint in a supply closet. Naked." The junior agent nodded, his head snapping back and forth on his neck hard enough that Natasha was pretty sure he was going to hurt himself. "And Clint still alive?" She considered the full implications of the situation and arched her eyebrows. "Actually, the fact that Stark's still alive is probably more remarkable." "What?" the agent said, confusion washing over his features. Natasha waved him off. "Never mind. When was this?"
Today?"
She shook her head. "Of course. Thank you." She patted his cheek, her fingers delicate on his skin, and then pushed the Roomba up against his chest. "Be a dear and run this down to R&D for me, will you please?" With a faint smile, she turned away from them, heading up the hall. Halfway to Coulson's office, Steve nearly barreled into her. She dodged him with ease, her body slipping around him without even thinking about it. Despite the fact that he didn't actually hit her, Steve skidded to a stop, already apologizing. Natasha waved him off with a flick of her wrist. "It's fine," she said, with a faint smile. "Has another one of Stark's toys been spotted?" Steve flinched. Natasha's eyes narrowed. "Steve," she said, her voice gentle, "have you been listening to the junior agent's gossip?"
"There's gossip?" he asked, and his voice rose an alarming degree on the two short words. "How is there gossip? I was the only one there when..."
He snapped his mouth shut, and Natasha stared at him, her eyebrows scraping her hairline. "Now, that was interesting." "Steve!" They both paused, looking back, as Bruce jogged up the corridor. He gave Natasha a faint smile. "How's the hunting?" he asked her. "Picked off 3 more. They're very tricky. Probably has something to do with their programmer," Natasha said. She folded her arms. "Speaking of which, I just heard some of the junior agents talking about him and Barton. Something about a closet?" Yeah, no, Bruce said, as Steve turned and stalked away. Stark is an idiot, he said on a sigh.
That's true. So's Barton.
I suspect at least some of this is him just messing with Steve, which is not very nice. Please smack him for me when you see him next.
I can handle that, Natasha said. Are you going to...
She jerked her head in Steve's direction. I'll go talk him down, Bruce said, his shoulders hunched. Thor's got Stark down in the cafeteria.
I'll deal with the rest, Natasha said on a faint sigh.
What's the rest?
Never mind. She flicked a hand after Steve. Better catch up to him before he catches some idiot of a baby agent embellishing it into something involving blowjobs in Fury's office, or three-ways in Fury's office with Fury.
Oh, God, Bruce said, and took off at a fast jog.
I'm on a team with a bunch of teenage boys, Natasha said aloud to no one in particular. How did this happen?
Shaking her head, she padded off to head off the rest of their problems. Natasha gave the door a perfunctory knock and slipped in without waiting to be invited. Behind his desk, Coulson glanced up at her with a single raised eyebrow.
Yes, Romanov? He asked.
Can this possibly wait? I just got here a minute ago, and I have about 20 pounds of paperwork to deal with right now. She ignored the hint to leave. She folded herself up on his couch, leaning against the arm in a languid recline.
So, she said, eyelashes dipping, Clint and Tony.
I hope they'll be very happy together, Coulson said, scribbling a few notes on the form in front of him. Natasha's eyes narrowed.
Oh, Coulson.
Natasha, he replied, eyebrows arching.
You cannot believe, she choked on a laugh. Clint! And Tony! No!
They're both lovely boys, Coulson said with a straight face. Lovely couple. We must have them over for dinner some night. Natasha hid a smile behind a yawn.
Just because every other person within the confines of Stark Tower and S.H.I.E.L.D. is completely oblivious, don't lump me in with them. I am well aware that you are enthusiastically sleeping with the asset, Agent Coulson.
First, not officially his handler anymore, he said with a faint smile. Second, don't ever call him an asset again. And third, I do believe that's none of your business.
Don't try to put one over on me, Natasha said, eyeing him, not the least bit bothered by the set-down. I was there at the beginning of this relationship of yours.
No, you weren't, actually.
Fine, she said, waving a languid hand in his direction. I was there for the beginning of the romantic part of it.
That is also incorrect.
She grinned. Well, I was there when you drugged him, kidnapped him, and handcuffed him to an office chair. How's that?
Well, when you put it like that, Coulson said, smiling just a bit. It all seems so sordid.
He pulled a file from his drawer.
Besides, you weren't there. You were watching the getaway vehicle.
Close enough. Your relationship is like something out of a 1980s era soap opera. Don't get me wrong, Coulson. I'm quite pleased. I wouldn't have thought you had it in you.
She rolled to her feet, slipped the pages from under his pen, and set them aside. She took a seat on the edge of his desk. He isn't going to cheat on you, Coulson. He gave her a look. A, your intelligence is lacking, and your intel is too, look, directly from their field relationship.
Of course he's not.
Good. Just so we're clear. I was a bit concerned when I found out that he and Stark actually were in a closet together because, well, that wasn't something I was expecting.
Coulson's pen hit the desktop with a click.
Really? They were actually in the closet? This isn't just stupid S.H.I.E.L.D. scuttlebutt that Clint started to annoy me, or Stark, or Rogers?
Natasha blinked at him.
Steve confirmed that he bumped into them when they were coming out.
Really? Coulson stood. Let's go.
She slid off the desk and fell into step behind him.
Coulson?
Why would Clint be in a closet with Tony? He asked her, straightening his suit as he led the way to the door.
There's a limited number of answers, and I don't like any of them, because Team Stark Barton exists to give me an ulcer and force the creation of new and ever more complicated paperwork.
And yet you're still dating half of said team. What does that say about you?
She said, slipping into the hall so he could shut and lock the door.
That I am clinically insane, and you dated him first.
Yes, but I broke up with him.
So I've heard. How many times, exactly?
Who could keep track of an exact number? There was always a reason to take him back, she explained, with a purr in her voice.
One big reason to keep taking him back. I could also make a rather lewd comment about his stamina and talent in certain areas, but you don't seem like the sort to encourage locker room talk.
I'm going to assume by stamina and talent you're discussing his abilities as a sniper, Coulson agreed.
I am not having this discussion with you.
And here I thought you'd want all the intel possible. I'm shocked, Natasha said with a faint smirk.
Fine. When you're ready for girl talk, just let me know.
I appreciate it, Natasha. I'll pencil you in for never.
How's that? Does never work for you?
Coulson raised his eyebrows at her.
Never works quite well for me.
And she was not giggling. That would just be damned undignified, really.
Clint was not surprised when his earpiece chirped. He was a little surprised that it happened so fast. But then again, he had set Tony up pretty badly outside of that closet, and the man folded like wet tissue paper in a hurricane when Steve turned a disapproving glance in his direction.
If he could ever get Steve to use his powers for evil, the man could rule the damn world, really. It wasn't as if Clint wanted a friend to go the supervillain route. He just hated to see potential being wasted.
Does it occur to you that if he set his mind to it, Steve could be a truly excellent supervillain? Clint said into the comm unit, not bothering with any sort of segue. He knew very well who it was.
We have a contingency plan in place for that, Coulson said without missing a beat.
In the background, Steve said,
Wait, what?
Oh, come on! If anyone here is going to go the black leather and weather control ray route, it's gonna be me. Let's not even kid ourselves.
Every active SHIELD employee has a wallet card instructing them what to do in the event you go supervillain, Stark. It's standard equipment.
A beat of silence.
What?
Tony asked.
I got one, Bruce said.
Wanna see it?
If you show it to him, it'll defeat the purpose of having a plan, Natasha said. And I like this plan. It's a good plan. I do not want to go through them trying to come up with something else.
Yes, I want to see it, Tony said.
Thor, did you get a card?
Verily, their plan is most sound. I believe we will be able to subdue you with great swiftness, before you have much chance to hurt yourself or others. The damage to property will, of course, be massive, but such things are to be expected.
What the hell? You will not be able to subdue me quickly. Screw you. I am wily and brilliant.
I didn't get one, Steve said, and there was a loud sound of no one being surprised.
It's not a good idea to warn the bait that... Clint started, and Coulson cut him off with ruthless efficiency.
Barton, do you want to tell us why you felt it was acceptable to go crawling off into the vents without updating myself or Captain Rogers with a new mission intel?
Way to hold out for all of 10 minutes, Stark, Clint said, still moving steadily forward.
The darkness gave way to the small light he was wearing, providing a wide beam of gentle light. No strain on his eyes, no blind spots. Light, and with a long battery life, it also recorded what he was seeing for later review. He'd adjusted the gear he carried in confined spaces over years of use, finding what worked and what was comfortable.
Haven't you had the standard torture resistance training?
It's stuff like this that drives a man to a life of supervillainy.
We'll take our chances.
Actually, Stark did exactly what he was supposed to do, Coulson said, his jaw sounding overly tight. He informed Fury, and he informed the operative involved. Do I agree with his decision to let the brain-damaged operative in question make further decisions about his own health and safety? Not quite.
I know what I'm doing, and anyone else would just be in my way in here, Clint said. He caught a crossbar and swung his body through a juncture, acrobatic training coming in handy as he twisted and folded himself back into crawling position.
Just because you felt the need to sign yourself up as my medical proxy does not mean I take irrational chances with my health.
He walked out of the S.H.I.E.L.D. medical unit with two broken legs, Natasha explained to the rest of the team.
Hairline fractures. Don't exaggerate, Clint said, sighing.
No, the hairline fracture was in your skull, Coulson reminded him. Though that did make it easy to get you declared legally incompetent.
I still can't believe you actually filed paperwork with the state.
I can't believe it took him so long, Natasha said.
I'm just going to stay here in the vents, okay? Become S.H.I.E.L.D.'s version of the Phantom of the Opera.
Any signs of our missing hockey pucks of doom? Tony asked, sounding like he was just at the end of his rope.
Likely he was. It had been a long week.
Not yet. You made the damn things too clever. He heard something new, the faint sound humming down the length of the metal ductwork, and his head came around.
May have something.
As he crawled forward, he said to Tony,
Stark, I should have found some of these things so far, shouldn't I?
I was kind of hoping.
Where are they? Barton asked. Why aren't the S.H.I.E.L.D. sensors giving us a lock on them? On at least some of them.
I don't like any of the answers I could give you, so I'm not going to verbalize them, Tony said.
Oh, that's fucking comforting.
Clint turned the corner and nearly took a Roomba to the face. He dodged, the move instinctive and intuitive, and the thing skimmed past his skull with inches to spare. Cursing and snarling, Clint rolled and scrambled after it, his feet skidding and slipping, unable to get purchase. It took him precious seconds, but he got himself moving, and moving fast enough to track the damn thing, skidding around a corner and coming to stop at an open drop that echoed down into darkness that his lights couldn't break.
Barton! Phil's voice snapped in his ear. Update! Now!
Got one! Moving fast, north-northeast, dropping two floors, Clint snapped, slamming an anchor into place. Uncoiling the line, he gave it a yank to check the hold and pushed himself over the edge into the main ventilation shaft.
Stark, you have a lock on my position? He asked as he bounced his way down.
Yes, moving fast and sliding down, Tony said.
Got a visual on our boy?
Maybe. Repelling to a stop, Clint braced his foot against the metal frame and swung his body around into place. Leaning forward, eyes narrowed, he stared at the bent wire framework that had previously covered the entrance to the air shaft. That was a lot more damage than one Roomba could have done on its own.
I think I may have found their gathering point, he said, pulling a multi-tool from a pocket on his thigh.
A few minutes later, he yanked the grating free and released it to tumble down to the base of the shaft. It took a lot of time to reach the bottom.
Yeah, that shaft goes right through the heart of the S.H.I.E.L.D. building, Tony said.
No fans and fairly wide. Good access. Clint swung himself in.
Yeah, pretty easy to move. And I've got something up ahead.
He reached up, adjusted the comm unit.
What the hell?
The Roomba he'd been following was floating in the middle of the duct, swerving from side to side, bouncing off the sides of the walls and clattering against the ceiling. Another Roomba was blocking its forward movements, their metal frames clattering off of each other.
What the... Stark? Did you program these things to fight?
No. What the hell?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Clint admitted.
He pushed forward, and the Roomba he'd been following shot past the other one and streaked down the duct away from Clint. And disappeared. Clint blinked.
Okay, he said, his voice drawing the word out. Okay, that was weird. That was fucking weird.
Report, Barton, Coulson snapped in his ear.
The thing just vanished in midair, Clint said. And the other Roomba, the one that had been doing the blocking, sped forward and thumped against Clint's shoulder. He rocked back. Hey, ow, cut it out.
He reached up and caught it with one hand.
What do you mean it vanished? Tony asked.
It was there, and then it was gone.
Vanished, Clint said, struggling against the remaining one.
Down! Stop it!
Don't make me EMP your shiny metal ass!
He pushed it down to the floor and blinked at his own printing, done in black Sharpie.
Huh, it's Mr. Fantastic. Why has he got a red cross painted on him now, Tony?
What?
Oh, the special one I fixed. I made it a repair unit. Also, probably the smartest of them. It was the last one I tinkered with. They didn't do a good job putting him together, so I was pushing the code a bit farther than the others.
Is it back then?
No, Mr. Fantastic was trying to stop the other one from going that way.
Clint shifted, his eyes narrowed in the lowered light, the depths revealed only by the lamps he carried.
Trying to block it. And now I think it's doing the same thing to me.
It doesn't want me to go down this way.
He leaned a palm against the Roomba.
Stark, Coulson snapped out.
I don't know, Tony admitted. They weren't programmed to do that. But this one might have the capability to make the call. It's designed as a last resort. Repair unit, and smart enough to preserve itself, so that if the rest of the Roombas are damaged beyond the capability to recover, that one needs to be the last line of defense, so the others can be rebuilt.
So what does it know that we don't?
I don't know, Tony snapped. Fuck it, I don't know. But I'd say, don't go down that way, Clint. Get out of there.
Are its sensors more adept than what S.H.I.E.L.D. has monitoring the facility? Clint asked, eyes still scanning the metal walls.
Barton, get out of there. That's an order, Coulson snapped out.
Not even close, Tony said.
So why...
Clint leaned forward, and the exposed fingers of his right hand landed on the metal floor. He looked down.
Physical contact, he said, his voice very soft. It's not seeing or hearing. It's touching. S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have anything touching the duct.
What are you talking about? Tony asked.
Barton! Coulson snarled.
Too late, sir. It's already got me.
Beneath his hand, he could feel the metal pulse, flexing and moving and slithering under his hand, and his skin crawled.
It's masquerading as the duct, perfect camouflage, but I can feel it. There's something alive around me. It's already got me.
Clint!
Clint snagged the comm unit from his ear and twisted, flinging the comm with all the strength in his arm. It disappeared into the darkness behind him, and he grabbed hold of the Roomba. As the comm unit tumbled down the main ventilation shaft, its owner was already gone.